Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word. We proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. I hope you've had an awesome week. If you've been listening for the last few weeks, you know that we've been going through the book of Acts. And last week, we did a program about Acts chapter 10, about Peter and Cornelius, which is one of my favorites. And because it's one of my favorites, I didn't finish it. And so we're going to hear part two of that tonight, which is okay, because I didn't want to rush through it just to, quote, get it done, unquote, when we have another period of time here that we can spend on it. So, in Acts chapter 10, to summarize what we did, and we're not going to redo the whole show, of course, because the time goes by so quickly. Cornelius, who is a centurion, he's a very important officer. He has become a God-fearer, or what the Jews call a righteous Gentile, a pious Gentile. He prays to the God of Israel. He gives alms to the poor. He has a vision of an angel who tells him to send for Simon Peter, because Peter has to come and show him what he must do. Peter must come to tell him something. So he immediately obeys, and he sends a group of men to Peter's to the house where Peter is staying in Joppa. He's staying at the house of Simon the Tanner. Cornelius is in Caesarea Maritima. It's not that big of a distance, but you know, by car it might be a half hour, but by foot it took a bit of time. So at the house where Peter is staying, he goes up on the roof of the house and he is praying, and he goes into a spiritual ecstasy, and he sees a sheet that's lowered down from heaven that has unclean animals in it. And he hears a voice from the Lord saying that he is the, don't call common or unsacred what I have made clean. And then the sheet withdrew back to heaven. But this happened three times. Now, in Hebrew culture, twice is getting somebody's attention. Three times is critically important. And so Peter's quite confused by this, because now the point of it is, not only are the dietary laws not going to be enforced on Gentiles, and not only are the dietary laws now not part of your observance in order to be, quote, righteous, unquote, it also meant that Gentiles who were non-covenant people considered unclean now can come into the kingdom. Now they've been cleansed by what Jesus has done on the cross. This was very difficult to understand for Peter, because Peter has lived these, I don't know how old he was, 40 years or so, has lived all that time following the dietary laws, understanding that he was separate from Gentiles, that the people, the chosen people, were separate from Gentiles for a variety of reasons, which we can't all get into. But it's very difficult for Peter to suddenly understand all the food is clean, all the Gentiles are clean. You know, if a Gentile becomes a believer, he's just as clean as the Pharisee who becomes a believer. This is very difficult for Peter to understand all at once. We have to understand the upbringing and the culture and the religious training. And it would be very difficult for us as Christians to suddenly say, oh yes, now we're going on this other path. It's similar and maybe it has its basis, but now we're going this other path. It would be very difficult. So while Peter still, you know, he's kind of resistant, but he hears a voice from the Holy Spirit saying that, don't doubt. Don't doubt. I have sent these men. In fact, in verse 19, he says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So the Holy Spirit directly tells Peter that these men have been sent by him, capital H, and that they are to go with him to Cornelius' house. So Peter's had quite an experience up until this time, up on the roof, and everything happens in a sequence of events, of course, to get the mission ready that Peter is going to do at Cornelius' house. In fact, Peter is going to start bringing probably the first Gentiles of any number into the church. Church, of course, was a concept that was a little different then than it is now, but bringing Gentiles into the kingdom, let's say. Paul is later going to become, very shortly, going to become the apostle to the Gentiles, but Peter, of course, preaches to Gentiles also. It is not a clear distinction, just like Paul preaches to plenty of Jews in the synagogue. And, you know, in Acts 15, Peter's going to say, Gentiles come in through the preaching of the gospel because they believe. And this, of course, is by the power of the Holy Spirit acting on them as they hear the message. And so the Holy Spirit tells Peter, these men are seeking him, don't doubt. And this happens right while he's pondering the vision that he saw. And he probably has some issues now in his head of, these are Gentile men that are seeking me. Am I even going to let them into the house? Am I going to sit with them? Am I going to talk to them? And sometimes a mission comes to us in a time where we can't quite understand why it's happening in a certain way. Because we, according to our background and our education and our experiences and our training, know that things are done in a certain way. Now, that way is being very upset for Simon Peter at a very in a relatively short amount of time. This is probably, you know, all happens within a half hour or an hour or whatever it was. And, you know, Jesus had told them, had told the apostles, and Peter probably remembered it, that the Holy Spirit would tell them what to do, would tell them where to go, would tell them what their defense was to be if they were being tried, if they were being questioned, if they were being persecuted. So these men come to the house. Now, this is not Peter's house. We don't really know what Simon the Tanner was doing, but they didn't care about Simon the Tanner. They came to see Peter. So they ring the doorbell and they come into the house, and Peter comes to meet them, and they tell Peter that an angel told Cornelius to send for him, that Peter was to come to say something, to say a word to Cornelius. And we remember, of course, Romans hasn't been written yet, but we remember in Romans 10, I can't remember the verse, it might be 27, where it says, you know, faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. So Peter tells them, now these are Gentiles outside of the covenant. This is radical behavior that you have to try to understand. Not only is this radical behavior, these aren't just run-of-the-mill Gentiles. These are people from a prominent Roman official. The Romans are occupying the land, are taxing the people, are controlling the people. And now a group of them come to the house where this seemingly inconsequential Galilean fisherman is staying. And he invites them in and says, why don't you guys stay a while so that, you know, you can eat, you can rest, and then we'll go. So he gives them hospitality and lodges them there, even though they're Gentiles. So this is pretty amazing. 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. What reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them and some brethren from Joppa. Some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. So Peter extends his hospitality to them. And the next day, they start going to where Cornelius is. Now, he takes some brethren with him. Now, by this, it means circumcised believers. These are Jewish believers. Today, we would call them Messianic Jews. These are Jews. They're circumcised believers. In other words, they're in the first covenant. They're in the covenant of Israel, the covenant of Moses. But now they've come to faith in Yeshua, Jesus, as the Messiah. So they're Messianic believers. And so he takes a few of these. We learn in the next chapter that I think there are six of them, but he takes these circumcised believers with him to Cornelius' house. So you have to imagine they're walking to Cornelius' house, and they're probably thinking, what are we doing going to a house of a Gentile? He's not only a Gentile, but he's a Roman. Is this some kind of trick? I don't know. But these guys seem pretty excited about it. That came from Cornelius, and the Holy Spirit told me that he sent them and not to doubt anything. But of course, as a human being, Peter would be doubting. He would be doubting. What's going to happen when we get to this Gentile house? What if he offers us something to eat? Oh yeah, I remember now about the sheet, but you know, who knows what he's going to give us to eat? What's he going to do? What are they going to say to us? So when he gets to Caesarea, it's very interesting that it says Cornelius is waiting for Peter. Now, I don't know how many days went by. It's probably a couple of days walk each way. I've been to Caesarea Maritima, but I'm not sure how long it would take to walk to Joppa. By car, it would probably take about a half hour, 40 minutes. But by foot, it might take most of a day. I don't know. But Cornelius is waiting for Peter to show up. Ever since he had the vision of the angel, and then after he sent his guys out, he's so excited about this that he's waiting for Peter. You know, he's got official duties to do. He's got a very important job. I mean, if the governor calls him, he's got to run and he's got to do something. But anyway, he also calls his friends and his family. He wants his friends and his family, who presumably are all Roman Gentiles, I mean, his family certainly. I don't know if he had any Jewish friends. That would have been kind of a sticky situation. You wouldn't want to be friends with a Roman when you see how the tax collectors were treated, because they collaborated with the Romans, and they were also financially corrupt. But you know, that's a different story. So he's so excited about what Peter's going to say that he gets his friends and his family together. So they get to Cornelius's house, and what does Cornelius do? Verse 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found the many who had come together. So there were a lot of people there, all waiting to see what Peter was going to say. So Peter comes in, and Cornelius falls down in front of him. Now, for a Jewish man, this would be very, very uncomfortable. And we see this happen here. We also see in the book of Revelation that John falls down before an angel, and the angel tells him to stand up because the angel is a creature just like him. Here, Cornelius falls down and starts paying homage to Peter, and Peter reprimands him and says, no, don't do that. Stand up. I'm a man just like you. Peter, understanding that he, Peter, is certainly not worthy of being honored and worshipped, He was a sinner, and he knew his sinfulness very well. His experiences are very well recorded in the Bible, in the Gospels, I should say. We know kind of what his personality was. We know how many times that he said things and said things off the cuff, so to speak. And we know that he denied the Lord three times to a servant girl, not to a frightening soldier or not to the high priest or not to some official, but to a servant girl. He was afraid to acknowledge Jesus. So he knew all this in his mind. So the last thing he wants is for somebody to bow down in front of him, to kneel down in front of him. And again, Cornelius is a Roman officer, a very high-placed individual. Peter then goes and explains to Cornelius that this, you know, kind of could be a problem, verse 28. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me?" So Peter outlines the situation to them and says, you know, we're not really supposed to do this. We're not really supposed to associate with people from the nations. Whenever the Bible says nation, it means Gentiles. We're not supposed to associate with Gentiles, but now God has told me to come here. That God has shown me that no one is unclean, that no one is common, and no one, therefore, is outside of salvation. No one is excluded from the kingdom because of what their heritage is, their ethnic heritage, their biological heritage, their genetic heritage, as we might say. The gospel has to be preached to everyone because everyone is now open. Everyone is now to be brought into the kingdom. Verse 30, so Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms remembered in the sight of God. Therefore, send to Joppa and call Simon there, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear the things commanded to you by God. So Cornelius kind of recounts to Peter what had happened and says, here we are, you came, and that's really great. And we're all waiting to see what you have to say. We think this is going to be a blessing. We think this is going to be profitable for us. We're here waiting to hear what you have to say. 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are all witnesses of these things, which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin. So Peter preaches the gospel. He says Jesus came for Israel, the word was proclaimed, he died, he rose on the third day. They were all witnesses of this. they sat and ate with him after the resurrection. They witnessed this directly. Cornelius and the others may have heard about this. They may have heard Jews talking about this. You know, there may have been, quote, rumors going around about what had happened. We don't know. But Peter points out that Jesus dies, is risen from the dead, and he's judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets spoke of him. All the Torah, all the prophets, all the writings, as they're called, the three parts of the Tanakh. In fact, that's what the word Tanakh comes from. Tanakh is the entire Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scripture. So all of the Tanakh speaks of him. And Jesus himself said this, all the scrolls are about me. So all these things pointed to him, and we were with him, and we witnessed this. And if you believe this, you have remission of sin. So, as we said last week, Cornelius and the others there, they worshiped the true God. They were charitable. They were compassionate. They gave alms. But, now, the understanding is that's not enough for salvation. If you could be saved by being good and being nice and being compassionate, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. Now Peter explains, this is the new covenant now, where Jesus died on the cross for you, raised. This is what the scripture was all about. And this is the way that you're saved. This is the way that your sins are dealt with. This is the only way that your sin can be dealt with. And you know, many times in Paul's letters, he talks about how the gospel is preached with signs and wonders, and Peter talks about preaching with signs and wonders. Well, in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. So while Peter's speaking, the Holy Spirit falls on the whole group. So the Spirit comes because Peter's preaching the word. He's preaching the word of the gospel. He's preaching the word of salvation to uncircumcised people, non-covenant people, who are now at this very moment being brought into the new covenant, even though they're uncircumcised, non-covenant foreigners, people of the nations. In this particular case, the oppressors of the Hebrew people. So the Holy Spirit falls on this whole crowd. What happens when the Holy Spirit falls? We'll skip to 46 for a minute. They heard them speaking in tongues and magnifying God. So when the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius's house, they really start praising, speaking in tongues. These Romans start speaking in tongues. I mean, this is so awesome. And if you've had experience with Pentecostal Charismatic Renewal and you've been to Pentecostal Charismatic prayer groups, you understand what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you should seek one out. But back to verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on Gentiles also. So the circumcised believers, it points out they're circumcised and they're believers who came with Peter, say, hey, wait a minute. How come the Holy Spirit's being poured out on these people? That's supposed to be for us. It's not supposed to be for foreigners. Now, here's these people praising God, singing, probably dancing around the room, speaking in tongues, and we're kind of shocked because we didn't think this was for Gentiles. 47, then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So now Peter says to the circumcised believers, they've just believed and they've just received the Holy Spirit just like we did a few weeks ago in that upper room. So now they need to be baptized. We can't forbid these people to be baptized, even though they're not covenant people. and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked Peter to stay there for a few days. They, like the people on the two men on the road to Emmaus, that didn't want Jesus to leave. These people don't want Peter to leave. Whew. Well, that finally finishes Acts 10. So I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, and we'll be back again next week for another lesson from Acts. Have a great week.